Hello everyone, thank you for coming to my talk. If it isn't obvious enough, it's going to be about generics. I'm Anton, I'm based in Bulgaria. I'm a senior software engineer at Cast.ai, where I'm working on making your Kubernetes clusters more secure. I've been doing Go since around 2019, and before that I was doing Java, and I think my time spent working with Java subconsciously contributed to my love for generics, and it's the reason why I chose this topic for today's talk. You can follow me on social media. So let's get started. So what are generics? Well, it's just a way of programming that allows you to write code which works with multiple types while still preserving type safety. And they were introduced in Go very recently, in Go 1.18, which came out in 2022. So how many of you have actually worked with generics, like written a generic function or used some library that had generics? So, okay, quite a few hands. Yeah, I'm still going to do like a very quick introduction to generics. This is a generic function. It looks like a regular function, but here in the square brackets we have the, this is actually what makes the function generic. We define here the generic type T, and we give it a type constraint which limits what this type can actually be. And then in the body we have a regular code that uses this type. So at the time of writing this function, we don't know what this type T is. We only know that when we start using it. And we use it like this. Here we're calling this function twice, once with integer arguments and one with floating point numbers. And you see the arguments, they match the type that we defined here. Also, the compiler is pretty smart, so we don't need actually to give it the type. It can infer it by itself. In this case, this is still an integer function, and our result will still be size of integers. And if you want to do something stupid like this, the compiler will scream at us. It wouldn't let us write this code because these two things here are different types, so we cannot use them with this function because we require the type to be the same. And this is basically the gist of it. A little bit of history on how we got here. I guess most of you know Go was released in 2009 in November with this blog post. It was internally developed in Google shortly before that. And in 2009, they released it to the world. So why did they actually create a new language? In 2009, there were a lot of languages already in the wild. So why create a new one? Well, at that time, Google was using a lot of C++, so they had a big C++ code base. And one thing with C++, it's a very powerful language, but it's also a very complex one. So you can do a lot of stuff, and the complexity can get quite high. So for them, it was harder to onboard new people, especially more junior ones, to their complex code base. That's why they wanted to have a new language, which is more simple, so that it's easier to onboard new people. Also, C++ is notorious for its slow compilation times, so they wanted a new language that mitigates that as well. But they very much liked how fast C++ runs, so they wanted to keep this in a new language that they created. And that's how Go came to be. However, it turns out that generics kind of complicate each one of these three conditions. So back then in 2009, it kind of makes sense that to not have generics in the language. However, it took them less than 24 hours for people on the internet to start complaining about the lack of generics. Yeah, this is a Google group, a discussion about the language, and you see this is November 11th. So one day after the language was released, someone complains that the language doesn't have generics. And this kind of set the tone of how the next few years are going to come by. People will continue complaining about the lack of generics. It's always going to be one of the most requested features to be added to the language. So what did the Go team do about that? It turns out they did quite a lot. So 1 year later, we got the first proposal for generics. It was called type functions. It was rejected, obviously. Then we had another one in 2011 called generalized types. Then we had two more in 2013 called type parameters and generalized types v2. As you know, all of them were rejected. All four of those proposals came from within the Go team, and the majority of work was done by one guy. He's called Ian Lance Taylor. So yeah, this effort came from the Go team itself. Then we had some radio silence on the topic, but in 2018 and 2019 we got two more proposals called contracts and contracts v2. Essentially this we got one more in 2021, type parameters, and this is actually the proposal that got accepted. And these three proposals, they were still written by the same guy from before. So, yeah. finally, he got his way, and we got generics with this final proposal. So what took them so long? Obviously, the Go team wanted to do that. All these proposals came from within the Go team. The community also wanted to have that. So what took them so long? I think to answer this question, we need to get back to this blog post by Russ Cox. It's from December 2009, so this is the first month of the language. And it's called The Generic Dilemma. What it says in this article, it's basically he came to the conclusion that the generic dilemma is, do we want slow programmers, slow compilers, or slow execution times? So what Russ Cox did was he looked at all these other languages that already existed back then, and he looked at how they implemented generics. And he realized that if you want generics or don't want generics, you need to choose one of three trade-offs. He basically came up with three categories of languages. The first one is languages like C that don't have generics, so you don't have the productivity boost that features like generics give you. But you do have fast compilers and fast runtimes. Then you have C++, where you do have generics and you do have the fast runtime, but you get the slow compilation time because of the way generics are implemented. And then you have Java, where, again, you have fast programmers, you have fast compilers, but because of the way generics are implemented, which is completely different than C++, you get the performance hit in runtime. And having in mind that Go already did have limited support for generics, for the building types, like maps, slices, channels, I guess they just didn't want to take any one of these three trade-offs and just decided to leave the things as they are. But as we saw, we already have an accepted proposal. And now let's talk about implementation. Let's see what this proposal tells us about how generics are going to be implemented in Go. Well, it didn't tell us anything. Oh, the final proposal, and also all the previous one, in their implementation paragraph, they say, we are aware of the generics dilemma. We don't want to take a decision on this. The proposal is flexible enough so that you can implement it however you like. So basically, it doesn't give us any guidance on how it's going to be implemented. So what do? We need to write more proposals for the actual implementation. In reality, there were three proposals written for the implementation. The final one was accepted. But for us to better understand how we came to how we came there, we need to look at all three of the proposals. The first one is called stenciling, and this is basically the C++ way of doing things. And stenciling means that when we have a generic function and we use it with some types, we're going to compile one function for all the types that we use our generic function with. Let's see an example. On the left, we have a generic code, pretty simple function that just takes two values and returns the sum of them. And we are calling it with first with integers and then with floating point numbers. What will happen during compilation is that the compiler will actually produce two functions. The first one will work with just integers. The second one will work with just floats. And on the call side, we are going to replace the generic function with the specific implementation of this function for this type. Of course, this is just pseudocode. The Go compiler doesn't produce any Go code. It produces machine code. But it's just an illustration of how this is going to look like according to the proposal. So, yeah, this is the integer implementation and the float implementation. The big benefits here are that you basically don't have any performance penalty during runtime, because in runtime you don't have generic functions, you have regular functions. However, the performance hits come during compilation. Now the compiler has to do a lot more work to compile this function multiple times for each of the types that we work with. And this also contributes to the bigger binary size, because now we have more stuff in our compiler.